You've talked about my father. Well, you call me an entitled millennial. I call you a carny succubus, because the dirty secret about you, the dirty secret is you need this generation more than it needs you. And you've surrounded yourself with impressionable youth. This isn't about my dad. This isn't about the dead. It's about the living. It's about my mother. It's about my sister. It's about my wife. It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn deniable.
Hello, world. What's up, guys? This is Dave Van Auken on the Fight Benaz podcast. Right there, guys, that was Cody Rhodes in AEW. One thing that's been so exciting and so breathtaking about the Fight Bananas movement is over 175, 180 episodes, over a year. We're almost at our 1 year anniversary. The podcast has been doing so well, and different platforms, especially iHeartRadio, like I've been telling you guys, they want more content. They really like the movement of what Fight Bananas is doing. So we are going to like branch out. We're going to have different avenues. We're going to even have different people host shows. There's going to be shows that I'm going to like co-host with other people. We're going to do, there's one in the works right now that's going to blow your guys' minds. It's going to be unbelievable content. There's so much going on. There's a lot of stuff. And one that we wanted to do, like I said, diehard wrestling fan. Anyone that knows me personally, I'm Dave Van Auken. You know, I've been to 8 WrestleManias, over 200 shows. I'm based out of Daytona, Orlando, NXT, all that. We're all in. And my main man, Devin Adams, is about to come on the show. He's going to be kind of the first guest on this wrestling branch of the podcast. We got to name it somehow. You know, wrestling is bananas, or going bananas over professional wrestling. Something. We'll figure out something amazing to call it. But we're going to kind of branch out maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks, and just have another podcast strictly on professional wrestling. And on this one, I think we really are going to break down AEW. Devin is a huge fan of what AEW is doing, All Elite Wrestling. They just had a major, major pay-per-view. They just had their show on every Wednesday night on TNT, Dynamite. So we're going to break it down. We're going all in. We're going bananas for All Elite Wrestling. All right, guys, here we go. First guest on the Dev, I gotta think of a name. You know, professional wrestling is bananas, or going bananas with professional wrestling, something. But we got Devin Adams on the line. How you doing, my man?
Doing great.
Okay, so first of all, before we kind of get into everything, and hey, we'll let it go where it go, when did you start liking or loving professional wrestling? And, you know, now we're in 2020 spring, you know, what gets you involved with it today?
Well, of course I started at a very young age, but, what keeps me going is that I just got a really good friend that he's obsessed, and so he'll talk about it, and then I'll watch just to keep conversations going with him. And yeah, you know, and Chris Jericho right now is the hottest thing in the world, so
oh my gosh,
I love him.
Should we sing his theme song? Like, how cool is that? So listen, hey, we're gonna have fun with it as soon as he comes into the arena now. For one, how cool is it that he has his own theme song of him singing with his band Fozzie? So that's cool enough. But now when he walks into the arena, 17,000, 12,000, 14,000, however many people are there, and he's a bad guy in the business. They call that the heel, but he's the bad guy, and everyone sings the song. Like, it's incredible. The just that attraction alone is like, oh, I'm watching it. You know, it's just, it's such a cool thing that they do.
Yeah, this is a guy who's almost 50 years old, still going, and keeps reinventing himself over the years. Like, he's got to be the top 5 best ever, if not the best ever. But yeah, just to think about, he had that cruise in January. So he's on his own cruise ship on a show that he's the champion on at 49 years old. The whole crowd's cheering the same theme song that he wrote and sang, and he's the bad guy. It's incredible what he's done throughout his entire career.
It really is. And he's the guy that, you know, with WCW, with him starting there, he was over in Japan and Mexico back in the day. And then, of course, his WWE career and everything he's done with, you know, being the first undisputed champion and, you know, fighting The Rock and Stone Cold and all that. And then just had a great, you know, 15, 18-year run. The last five was kind of he would come and leave and come and leave. But that's what kind of made it. What made him pop, because when you're gone for 6 months, 8 months, anything, if you don't eat chicken for 6 or 8 months, you want that Chick-fil-A sandwich after 6 months. So when we, like, I feel like the crowd missed Jericho, and then he became huge. And then he did everything with New Japan and Kenny Omega, and then he just got bigger and bigger. And like you said, I don't disagree. You know, it's WrestleMania season, and John Cena's coming back, and looks like The Undertaker's coming back, and, you know, of course, everything with Roman Reigns and WWE and Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar. But I can't argue that if you say, hey, right now, Chris Jericho's the biggest name, best name in professional wrestling, I'm like, yeah, okay, I agree with that.
He's the current reason that I'm interested at all, honestly. So,
wow.
I've kind of gotten away from watching Raw and SmackDown. And I've been paying more attention to NXT and AEW. They're the more fresh ones. Like I watch SmackDown just to see the Usos, you know, cause they're from Pensacola and all. So,
right.
I try to catch them but for the main shows I'm watching right now is AEW and NXT.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we'll pick up NXT a lot next week, Dev, or later on. You know, that's on this one, it's just kill with AEW. So, for one, they just had, like, their pay-per-view, Revolution. They just had that on Saturday night, which is kind of on its own. I think it's cool and different and unique because wrestling I'm, you know, 35 years old. For 35 years, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, it's always Sunday night. And they're doing, like, this Saturday night thing, kind of like the UFC and, you know, boxing and, you know, when it was Fury on pay-per-view, it's Saturday night. So I kind of like that they're going with that aspect of it. Then
yeah, with Sunday pay-per-views, you know, people are going to work the next day, so it can get a little difficult to stay up and watch. But Saturday nights, you know, it's something to do Saturday night, get friends together, everybody watching, and have a good time.
Right. I agree. I was going to go with that. It's to me, they're making it more of a, you know, a party thing, get together with your friends. It's definitely, to me, the show itself, AEW and Dynamite on Wednesday night on TNT, it's definitely it's less kid-friendly than what the WWE is. They're all in with the less than PG-13. They're all in with Disney and Fox and just kind of, you know, the cookie cutter, you know, hey, you know, John Cena, middle-class American, that's what they're doing. AEW's going for the heart of professional wrestling. And so on the pay-per-view, and that's where I'm going to go with it, John Moxley, a.k.a. back in the day, Dean Ambrose, just won the championship from Chris Jericho. And on this Wednesday's episode that just passed, he came out, you know, was putting over his promo, saying, hey, the belt, this is everything, this AEW, this is the belt of professional wrestling. And, you know, that was his main message, to say, hey, we're not that baby cookie cutter kid friendly thing, we're wrestling, we at the end of the show, Dev, how about them flicking off Dean Ambrose, five guys flicking off on national television? It's just a different kind of a scene
after they put him through the table.
Yeah, exactly.
Off the stage. Jericho said he wasn't walking out there on his own, and he made it happen.
There you go. So okay, so Chris Jericho's bringing you in. How do you like the Chris Jericho versus John Moxley, you know, rivalry?
I kind of feel like Moxley doesn't require a belt. His character works without having a championship, and so I was kind of disappointed that Jericho lost, because I feel like he could carry the company as the champion, and as the champion, even though he said the Wednesday night, I don't need a belt to be le champion, but like that just fits him. It fits that mold. And to have Moxley chasing him, I think would have been a better storyline rather than letting him get the victory, you know, like basically the first time, you know, the first big pay-per-view.
Right. And I agree with you. And I think, for one, it seems like Cody Rhodes loses every big match. We'll get into him in a second. He's like the biggest good guy, or the baby face, for him and Moxley. So he loses every time. So I feel like, and Jericho's been the champ since day one, beating Hangman Page, and Jericho's kind of, they've ended up the show is mostly, you know, if you want to say in a bad note, the bad guy winning. So I feel like AEW just really wanted to say, here you go, guys. All the fans, we're paying this off for you right now. Boom, Moxley's the champ. I do agree. I think Jericho's going to win it back soon. With him in the inner circle, a.k.a. Jack Swagger, Jake Hager, who's an MMA fighter, which, you know, we'll connect into that. We'll have maybe his own episode. But it's just, I felt like they wanted to give Mox the moment. Here's a good guy moment. But I do think the inner circle and Jericho, I agree, needs the title back. They need to be the bad guys. To me, it is more of a heel show. And let's have Hangman, and let's have Cody and Moxley and whoever they're going to bring up chase him.
Right, yeah. What I'm afraid of is that they're going to start basically moving on from Jericho. And maybe that was the plan to begin with, because Jericho does have so much going on. But like I said, he's the best. He's what's keeping the interest right now. So I'm afraid that they're going to be phasing him out, and that's why they went ahead and moved on. But hopefully not. Hopefully, you know, because they are building up these other groups, factions within AEW that are also going to be the heels, you know, like the Inner Circle and all. So maybe they're just getting things set for that. And now you can have whoever ends up being this higher power of the Inner Circle could be who's challenging Moxley next.
Ooh, okay. I always, I think they know who it is, for one. Two, I always thought it was going to be Luke Harper. You know, he looks dark. I think that's kind of been the dirty secret, that Luke Harper is definitely coming over to AEW. So that's what I always thought. I can see that. If they kind of move on from Jericho, or at least kind of maybe just push him to the side, if he's going to tour with Fozzy or just be a less part, because he has been every show. He's had 2-3 entrances, always on the mic, wrestling in the main events. He has been, I agree, the show. Him and Cody. So yeah. If Jericho moves over to the side, is it, to me, is it Jake Hager? Is it Sammy Guevara? Is those two guys the easy choices to kind of pick up who's next? You know, I know... Pac is doing a lot, you know.
Yeah, Pac just started his own little group with the Lucha Bros, so.
Right. You know, I would think that they would keep it in the inner circle, and then Jericho every now and then could come back if they decide to go that way. I'm with you. Jericho, he can wear his shiny jackets and his scarf, and it's amazing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm all in. They need Jericho. It's sometimes... The UFC maybe didn't think that George Masvidal would be the biggest fighter in the world, but he is, and they're running with him. They gave him like this BFF title, main event, The Rock, Madison Square Garden. Sometimes whatever's hot or you don't think it's going to be great, you just run with it, especially in professional wrestling. Okay, we talked about Jericho, talked about Moxley. Let's kind of go into Cody Rhodes. Everything he's been doing, it's his brainchild, AEW with B Elite, with, you know, Hangman and Kenny Omega, which is, he's the guy that, we'll talk about him later. Oh my, we can talk about it forever, but he's the one they need to build up to be another championship contender or even the champ itself. But Cody Rhodes, what do you think he has been doing? You know, his promos, pushing, you know, MJF and just pushing people along. How about the new tattoo on the neck? What's your take on Cody Rhodes and AEW?
I think Cody is playing his role perfectly. He's, of course, what is he, the CEO or COO or something?
Right.
Tony Khan's the financier, the owner. But Cody Rhodes, in his role in the company, is he's basically the boss, right? So in the show, he's not booking himself to be the champion. In fact, he put himself in a match where he cannot even challenge for the championship. So all he's doing is trying to build other people up. And this feud with MJF is like perfect, because that guy could be the next, he could be the next Jericho, that guy. MJF, his promos have been phenomenal. He's drawing the heat perfectly. He's making everyone hate him. It's awesome. I think that Cody is killing it. So, except for that tattoo.
Not a fan of the tattoo on the neck, huh?
Nah, it's just a little oversized, I thought. So
a little bit, and you would think that they a colorful tattoo on your neck would have been, you know, measured and every I they it looks like he had to go. He's like, yeah, I want it that big. I want it that big of a statement. And it's
obviously he wanted it.
Yeah. It's that was wild. You mentioned MJF. Yeah, I like him a lot too. So it looks like we didn't even mention him with the next big bad guys coming up. If Jericho moved over and, you know, if Sammy was doing something else and, you know, and Jake is maybe getting ready for an MMA match, maybe you do an MJF versus Moxley rivalry and give Moxley a win. They can go that route. I like that a lot. One thing I do want to transition to real quick is, and I don't know if you watched Revolution, Dev, and they talked about it a lot on the show, and it was really cool they did it. They had people in the media write what they thought. That tag team matchup with the Young Bucks, Kenny, and Adam Page, and not even just that one match in particular, but for the, you know, 4 months, 6 months of its existence, tag team wrestling in AEW is insane. It's probably the best wrestling that they do on the show day in, day out. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I 100% agree with that. The Young Bucks are one of the best tag teams in wrestling, period, ever. Omega and Hangman Adam Page together now, you know, they were kind of tossed together just because they were all grouped together with the Elites, but they've become a fantastic tag team because Omega is one of the best wrestlers ever in the world at the moment, you know, and Adam Page is, I didn't care for him at first, but he's really grown on me. That guy is fun to watch also, so. And then, you know, just some of the other tag teams, SCU and Private Party, you know, all those guys.
Best always, friends, Dark Order.
Yeah, the Dark Order.
Lucha
yeah.
Bros.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's stacked. And one thing, you nailed on something I really like there too, Dev, is even during, so they made Hangman Page and Kenny Omega a team. So boom, that could be their storyline and that could be where they're going. But even with that, they go inside that tag team and go, hey, Hangman Page, you're going to drink a lot and make that a little bit of an angle. Or is he drinking too much? Does his friends think he's drinking too much? All that. And it's like every time it looks like, you know, Page is going to turn on Kenny, they've done it like five times and he never does. And it's almost like that's the storyline. One thing that AEW does so well, and we just saw it last night with Jake the Snake Roberts coming back. You think Cody's done with MJF and then he comes back with something else. There's just this continuing story path for everyone on the show. Even Pac, like we said, he fights Kenny and then he loses that rivalry, but then right away beats up Cassidy, and then all of a sudden now he's with the Lucha Bros. It's just like everyone just keeps moving. Sometimes you don't win the match, but if your story keeps moving and moving, like I want to ride with these guys. I want to keep on watching. I'm going to tune in every Wednesday night for Dynamite to see where these characters are going.
Yeah, you just hit on like multiple things I want to talk about here too. What I've been seeing, everybody's been leaning towards Hangman Page is the one that's going to turn on this tag team and go heel here. But what I'm starting to see more is the Young Bucks are getting super frustrated and maybe they're going to be the ones that turn on Omega and Hangman. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, so now they'll be the heels instead of Hangman Page. I think it'll be a good little swerve if that happens. And, but yeah, the storytelling in AEW is phenomenal. It's everybody is connected with some way somehow. There's never a lull. There's never a guy that's doing nothing that's just out there to lose. Like you may have a jobber that comes out and he just loses to, you know, Pac or something. But then the next segment, he's joining the Dark Order because he's lost two matches in a row. And he's like, well, this is the way I got to win. So this is what I'm going to do. You know, they just tie everything in together.
Right, right.
And then you mentioned Jake the Snake. I was wanting to see what your thoughts on who he's going to be managing, because he mentioned he has a client coming.
Luke Harper.
That's exactly what I was thinking too. Luke Harper, I think they'll fit together really well. A lot of people are putting Luke Harper in with the Dark Order, but I thought it was going to be Christopher Daniels until Christopher Daniels came out as the Exalted One and took it off and ended up fighting them. But I mean, they could still swerve it and it could still be him again. But Matt Hardy has become my favorite for that spot now.
Yes, yes. Okay, I'm so happy you say that. I think Matt Hardy is going to be that Dark Order guy, and I thought maybe they thought a different way, but you know, stuff changes it's a perfect fit. Or another thing I want to go with it. I'm so happy you brought that up, Dev. they keep on bringing up Paige, and you know he's going to turn the back. And then you just mentioned the Bucks. The Young Bucks are one of those teams that to me can never go heel. I don't know. They sell too much merchandise. They're too friendly. They're too good. Everyone knows their families and all their YouTube shows. It's just that would be a hard take. And usually they do. When you're a heel, I don't know if you've been seeing MJF is flicking off kids walking down the street. Like AEW is a little bit more like, come on, guys, keep this as a real thing. So the Bucks can't turn bad. It's the opposite. Well, Kenny Omega is going to turn heel on Adam Page.
Think about this.
Okay.
Who else could do no wrong? He was the face of wrestling. He was the kid's most favorite person, the 24-inch Pythons, Hulk Hogan. Could never turn heel, right?
Wow.
He goes to WCW, and now he's in the NWO. Him, Scott Hall, and Kevin Nash, they're together, and they're taking over with the New World Order. And now all of a sudden we got Hollywood Hogan, and he rode that train for a while.
Wow. That might be the second smartest thing you've ever said ever to me, so I'm into that. But with Omega,
but
Dev,
you bring up a good point because John Cena's one that can never turn heel.
Right.
And we're starting to see that with Roman Reigns also now. Like, they never want to turn him heel because they are the kids' favorites. So, you know, maybe wrestling has changed and maybe they won't be able to, but I just think that it would work.
Oh, I think it could. I just see Omega, he's in that, you know, they have Cody and they got Mox and they even have a couple young guys on the up. What they're doing such a good job with Cassidy and Darby Allin, and there's Goldust there.
Orange Cassidy is when I say Jericho brings me in, Orange Cassidy is
he does
a close number two.
He's amazing.
I love that guy.
And so I think Omega's the one that can turn heel on the Bucks and Paige, and then automatically you have Omega as the big bad guy of the show. Omega could challenge Moxley. Omega can beat up Paige. Omega and, you know,
Omega could fall right in Jericho's place.
Right, right. They can even do an angle with that about even Omega. How about destroying Jericho? Let Jericho go away for 6 months. They're both Canadian guys, and they're both, you know, he can say, I'm the young, new version of Jericho. And then when Jericho comes back and everyone loves singing his theme song, he comes back as a baby face, a good guy. I think they can do something there too. So there's just so much they can do. Man, Dev, this is the first edition of, professional wrestling going bananas. I think that's what I'm going to call it. I like that. I like that. We can end it on this. What I want to do every time with you on, I want to ask like one tough question and, quick, it can be a minute thing or it can snowball. So I kind of wanted to get this question out and it was so funny because you really did mention it. I know that you and the Usos and we talked about it when I've been up there for Island Fights in Pensacola, and they were actually there at the event a couple months ago. And, they're the last decade for WWE, the best tag team in the world, I think. Usos are amazing. Sure. On the indie scene, and now AEW, it's the Young Bucks. So if you had to pick, my tough question for you, my bananas question of this episode is, who has been the better tag team for the last 6, 8, 10 years? Has it been the Young Bucks or the Usos?
Well, as far as notoriety goes, it has to be the Usos because they've been in the spotlight for forever now, you know. So the Young Bucks are just now going to start getting noticed. They could overtake it, but the Usos are hands down the ones.
Okay, I agree. I agree. There's something about being the welterweight champion in the UFC or being the welterweight champion of Bellator. There's just a different little feel to it. It is what it is.
Like I said, though, it can change. This tag team division in AEW is top notch. So we're going to be seeing great matches throughout AEW's tag team division. So, right now with the popularity of the WWE and everybody knows WWE, you know, AEW hasn't even been going, you know, on television for a year yet. So, it could change, but right now, oos.
I love it. I love it. Hey man, I know you're busy and we're about to roll out here. This has been the first edition of Bananas in professional wrestling. We love it. We went all in with AEW, the Revolution pay-per-view Wednesday night, Jake the Snake coming back, and Jericho putting Ambrose through a table, flicking off. It was awesome. Great show. Maybe next time, next week, we'll go all in with NXT. You know, it is WrestleMania season. They're doing a lot of crazy things getting into that Tampa, you know, right down the street from me. So we'll go next week. Maybe we'll go all in with NXT and we'll do a little Keith Lee tribute.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, Keith Lee's another one that's got my attention right now. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's the man for sure. Dev, man, appreciate you. We'll get you back real soon. Thank you for coming on the Fight Bananas Professional Wrestling first episode ever.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be here.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, guys, that was it. The very first episode of Professional Wrestling Going Bananas. I love it. Thank you so much, Dev Adams, for coming on the show, man. Appreciate you so much. This is just the start. I have so many friends and family that love professional wrestling. Maybe, who knows, we'll get some media guests. Maybe we'll get some wrestlers coming on. This is episode number one. Professional wrestling is bananas, or bananas and professional. We'll make it up. We'll get it. Thank you all the sponsors. We're staying with us. Warhammer Fightwear, Instone Nutrition. Check out Makotech Mouth Guards, and of course that Fusion CBD products at FusionCBDProducts.com. Put in that promo code FIGHT2020 for 20% off. Promo code FIGHT2020. I love it. More content. We're just, our sponsors are going to love us. That's what we're doing. So this is episode one. I loved it. We went all in. AEW, Moxley, Cody. We talked about if Kenny Omega is going to turn heel. The Bucks or the Usos, who's a better tag team? So much content right there. Amazing. And we're going to leave it on the Chris Jericho. The this song is just Judas. It has changed something about his character and about AEW. It just makes it into a party. Every time he comes out, it's just amazing. So, guys, have a great day. This is Dave Van Auken. Thank you so much for sticking with us. And we're just so appreciative. Like I said, it's been almost a year. Almost 1 year of the Fight Bananas podcast. And we just couldn't do it without you guys listening and subscribing and downloading our podcast. I tell you over and over again, iHeartRadio, keep on downloading and sharing it through there. You can share the link through text or DM. Share it to a friend or an enemy. It's just been awesome. Of course, subscribe to our Fight Bananas YouTube channel. And guys, let's just stay bananas.